That's coming up on the show. But first, Michigan's public schools will keep middle and high schoolers on distance learning at least through winter break, according to the latest orders from the State Department of Health and Human Services. There are some districts that have maintained face-to-face teaching, at least for younger grades, with precautions this year. But a number of our larger districts, including Detroit, Grand Rapids, and Ann Arbor, have gone all virtual. A group of physicians in Ann Arbor is urging its local school board to open up in-person instruction for elementary and special education students. Dr. Omar Karthikeyan is one of 100 MDs who signed a letter asking for consideration for this, that some kids could go back to brick-and-mortar classrooms in January. Dr. Karthikeyan, welcome to Stateside.
Good to be with you, April.
Now, the letter points out a number of clinical issues that you're asking the Board of Education to consider, and I do want to talk about those. But first, can I just ask you about what you're hearing from your patients and their folks? How is staying at home affecting children's health right now?
Yeah, this has been a real issue that we've seen over the last basically 9 months. And this started back in the spring when schools first closed, and we've been seeing a lot of tremendous emotional challenges that kids have been dealing with, really across the age spectrum. Older kids are dealing with much higher rates of anxiety and depression. Younger kids are really starting to act out more and manifest some of these symptoms of anxiety that kind of typically present as just sort of defiance and fighting with parents. And really across the board, everybody is having a hard time engaging and learning and getting a whole lot of sort of meaningful interaction out of the school experience.
Are your bigger concerns at this point emotional or physical or strictly within the realm of mental health?
I think it would be hard to pick one of those things. There's certainly the mental health piece of it is important, and that affects the family dynamic. And likewise, we also know that these lockdowns have led to rising rates of child abuse. So school is a refuge for a lot of these kids. It gives them an opportunity to connect with other people who might be their outlet from some of these more abusive situations. So the physical part of it is very real as well. And as these kids struggle to both engage and achieve academically, that affects their self-esteem, which has a lot of impact on their physical health. Also, the rising rates of obesity and just in general, kids are becoming more sedentary.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that schools are often the mandatory reporters who may be the first to bring abuse to county officials' attention. I imagine some of that has fallen to doctors and nurses in the meantime. So what is the case for expanding in face-to-face learning to include elementary students in the mind of you and your colleagues?
Yeah, I think our goal is to dispel this notion that we have to choose between health and safety and education. We can do both. And at the outset of the pandemic, it made sense to close schools because we assumed that the coronavirus was going to behave the way influenza does, which spreads rapidly through schools. But it became fairly clear in the early summer that was not really what was happening in children. They don't seem to be affected as much. And then as we've made it through the summer and now kind of 2 to 3 weeks into school in a lot of places, we realized that with some very basic precautions, we can implement school safely and do it in a way that serves children while protecting staff, protecting teachers and students, and giving them what we know they need.
So my first question on reading this was thinking about the small but really tragic number of cases where we have seen some children in Michigan get ill from the coronavirus, sometimes be hospitalized because of the coronavirus. There have even been a couple of deaths. I know that doctors are not insensitive to this. In fact, the opposite. But how do you evaluate the risk?
Yeah, and absolutely, I think that's a key point. We're not saying that children are not at risk and that they cannot get sick or seriously ill. What we're saying is that in general, their likelihood of both contracting and spreading the virus is dramatically lower than it is in adults, and their risk of severe illness is even more dramatically lower. So Washtenaw County, for example, kind of where we live here in Ann Arbor, the number of cases as they break it down for children, so 0 through 17, that number has always been around 5%, give or take, of cases. So it represents a very small number of the overall number of cases. Currently, it's 0% of hospitalizations and 0% of deaths. And there's a lot of data from all over the world, particularly in places where they have had in-person school overseas, and they've shown that there's very little risk of transition within the classroom setting. And there's not a lot of transmission from children to teachers when basic precautions like masking, social distancing, good hand hygiene, and cleaning, disinfecting services are put in place and adhered to.
My second question is what physicians who attend school teachers and school staff and parents would say about this. Is it fair to ask them to assume the risk if younger kids go back to school?
Well, look, I think obviously we care deeply about teachers and keeping them safe. And again, I don't think that this has to be a choice between allowing them to do what they have done so well for their entire careers and doing it safely. There are very basic things that we can do to allow them to feel like they can do their jobs and carry out their craft in a safe way. And a lot of different organizations and industries have figured out ways to do that. And we can do that as well. And I also think that there's an expectation that in the community, we're going to do our part to keep you safe as well. So that means being mindful of the decisions that we make outside of the classroom and making sure that we are emphasizing to our children the importance of complying with wearing their masks and maintaining that social distance so that they're not putting other people at risk. I think early on in the pandemic, there was some question of whether young children would be able to comply with some of those basic things, but we found that they have no problem doing that when the community and the parents emphasize those behaviors at home and we model it in our daily lives.
We know that children don't seem to contract full-blown COVID at the rate at which adults do, but do you feel like we know enough about children as carriers?
I think we're learning more. I don't know that one could ever say we know enough about anything this virus does because we didn't know anything about it just 10, 11 months ago. But I do think that we have learned enough about it to feel comfortable about this decision. And again, I think viewing this as a simple choice between, you know, two co-equal options of education where the only X factor here is whether or not people are going to get more sick is the wrong way to think about this. I think that we know enough to know that based on the places that have been going to school and have done it with appropriate safety measures in place, that can be done safely. We know that if we have several layers of safety built in, we can prevent children from getting exposed and getting sick. And we can do the same for teachers as well.
I noticed that your letter does not suggest sending middle schoolers and high school students back into the classroom just yet. Can you say a little bit more about that?
It's a slightly more nuanced issue. And I don't want to make it seem as if we're against doing that as well, but we recognize that the risk of transmission among older kids is certainly very different when you get into particularly over 10. And so in the high school range, they sort of behave much more like college students in terms of their ability to contract and spread the virus. And so clearly there is a lot of apprehension about this. So we want to say, okay, let's get kids, the younger kids in the classroom who we know we can get there safely. And then let's show the folks who are apprehensive about doing this that, look, there's a way this can be done. And then as we move forward, we can kind of work on middle school and high school students as well. But, you know, we also feel that with basic precautions, middle school and high school can be done safely also. So we're certainly not opposed to that. But I think if we're going from no school at all for anybody, I think baby steps are pretty reasonable.
A lot of leaders have talked about taking a science-based approach right now in their decisions. Can I ask, what does that mean to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think again, what I would finish with is that if your objective is to remain 100% virtual, there are plenty of things that you could point to support that position, but none of them are based on any data that support that position. And in contrast, there is in fact a growing body of evidence that is emerging as schools have gone back in person at some level over the last few months that a safe return to elementary school is frankly not that difficult at all, and that we are doing great harm to children by this steadfast commitment to 100% remote learning. So if we're failing to educate them, we're failing to support their socio-emotional needs, then, what exactly are we doing?
Dr. Omkar Karthikeyan is a pediatrician in practice in Ann Arbor, and he's, as we've said, one of about 100 doctors who are asking for consideration for some face-to-face learning this year. Dr. Karthikeyan, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, April. I appreciate the time.